Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have an important show, one I'm looking forward to because it's timely. You know, we're entering the beginning of school. People are going, taking their or sending their kids back to school all over the country. And something that's never talked about is wireless radiation and cell phone use and technology. And I think we've taken for granted that it's something that's ubiquitous and it's safe and we should just have at it. And the things from my perspective as a doctor, when I see patients tell me that they keep their phone on next to their bed or kids having it under their pillow, I mean, people don't know what they don't know. And today I think we have to have an important conversation so that people can make conscious choices about their health to take their power back. So today we're going to speak with Ms. Cecilia Doucette. She's helped her children's schools become the first in the nation to take precautionary measures with wireless technology. She's the director of Massachusetts for Safe Technology and works with schools, communities, municipalities, and legislatures to address wireless radiation and public health. She's also the education services director with the international nonprofit Wireless Education, which offers affordable 30-minute online training for schools and families and corporate safety induction. Cece was honored to co-chair the Technology Panel for the Health and Buildings Roundtable Conference at the National Institutes of Health and to present state and local policy at the International EMF Medical Conference in 2021. She's been featured on Genius of Wellness, Boston 25 News, PBS, O'Dwyer's, EMF Warriors, and in the films Generation Zapped and Wi-Fi Refugees. So this is someone who can speak eloquently to the problems that we face, but not just speak to them, but give us solutions. So Ms. Doucette, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It's an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you, Dr. George. It's an honor to be with you today.
Well, I want to get right into it because I think people have this mindset that wireless technology is safe because it's everywhere. And we seem to be bringing it more and more into our daily lives, whether that's smart meters, smart appliances, our cell phones. And now we have the introduction of 5G. But what does that mean for our children? Because when I was in school, we didn't have computers. You know, we had to write cursive and have a textbook and use highlighters. All those things seem to be gone now. Is there a safety issue? Let's start off with that major question. Is it safe?
No, it is not safe.
Why isn't it? What is the thing that makes it unsafe for children, actually for all of us? But children aren't mini adults. They have a different physiology. Their skulls are thinner. They have a lot more susceptibility, I think, to radiation. What is it that makes it unsafe? Is it the radiation? Is it the constant use? Is it the proximity?
Yes, all three of those. So like most of your listeners, I had no idea there was anything to even think twice about with wireless technology. When my two daughters were in school, we kept hearing about this 21st century classroom and how our kids were going to need all this new equipment to succeed in life. And our school budgets here in Ashland, Massachusetts, had just been cut to the bone year after year. So as parents, a number of us jumped in and started doing fundraising to get wireless infrastructure and the iPads and the Chromebooks and the smart boards and the minis and the Apple TVs and what we thought was all this great new technology. Then one night at book group, a girlfriend of mine who's an electrical engineer was reading a book called Zapped, like you stuck your finger in a socket and got zapped. Mm-hmm. And she was indicating that there could be biological harm. And so I just made a mental note of it. And then not long after that, something else came across my path that insinuated the same thing. So I'm a technical and professional writer by trade. And so I just started looking into the research and I was simply astounded to find, and I didn't even have to look very far to find literally thousands of peer-reviewed published studies from all over the world that link this technology and the part of the technology that does the harm the most is every single device in wireless mode is sending and receiving signal and data using these spiked, pulsed, erratic pulses of microwave radiation or radio frequency radiation. And what the science tells us is that in the long term, this is linked to cancers and DNA damage for both children and adults. It's linked to infertility, and it was actually the infertility studies that got me on my feet because I started reading that they've taken male human sperm and exposed it to a laptop with all the antennas turned on, and it changed the DNA. It slowed the motility of the sperm, and it caused far fewer sperm to be viable in just 4 hours' time. And we had just given our youngest daughter a laptop to go into high school with, and of course, where is she using it but on top of her reproductive organs? Mm-hmm. And there are additional studies that talk about the female physiology and what radio frequency does. So I was just incredulous, and other studies prove that this is an immunosuppressant. So here we are in the midst of a pandemic, or hopefully coming out of it, in which we have given every student a wireless device to access their education with absolutely no safety instructions. And other studies prove that this is a neurotoxin. So as a doctor, you are very likely seeing many more cases of anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, cognitive impairment, behavioral issues, ADD, ADHD, autism. And we know scientifically that this radio frequency radiation is linked to all of those. But the good news is with a little bit of education, parents and grandparents and guardians and mature children can start learning about this and then look at their exposures one by one and go, huh, what do you suppose I could do about, for example, my iPhone? I could take that and I could hook it up to a Lightning to Ethernet RJ45 adapter, to an Ethernet cable, to my router, and then just go into the device and turn off all those antennas, the Wi-Fi, the Bluetooth, the cellular, the data, the hotspot, the locator. And lo and behold, once you hardwire your technology, you get a much better connection. It's much faster. It's much more reliable. It's safer. Your security and your data privacy are not at risk like they are with a Wi-Fi connection where your data is flying through the air. So it's not rocket science, and the message is certainly not no technology, but safe technology. And it was when our school saw that legal fine print, you know, you go into settings, you scroll down to general, you go down to RF or down to legal and regulatory and hit that, and then it pulls up a little list at the top with RF exposure. And in that, the legal fine print right there that's been there all along is telling us that this was tested away from the body. So basically, don't put these devices anywhere on your body in active mode, or you will be exceeding the FCC limits for public radiation exposure. And those limits are not even protective. They were never tested for biological safety. And in the second paragraph of that legal fine print, it tells us to use a hands-free option, because without telling us forthright, the way they give us these devices is all those antennas are on, and each antenna is independently constantly pulsing this microwave radiation at millions and billions of cycles a second to make or maintain that handshake with the nearest cell tower or router. And again, we can all have excellent technology, but once we know, why would we ever take the risk of using a radiating device when we can simply wait a little longer and get to a hardwired computer or a hardwired telephone, or just go home and hardwire your own device and only use those wireless signals in emergencies?
That was an excellent overview. I think people need to just take a step back and think about that while we take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Cecilia Doucette. She's a technical and professional writer by trade, and she's also the Director of Educational Services for Wireless Education. And people need to go to their website, wirelesseducation.org, and that's where you can also sign up for these online courses. Am I correct?
Yes, that's right. We are poised and ready to train the masses. We could literally train your entire school district in a half an hour today. Same thing with the corporate workplace, because we now have companies that are placing routers right where the employees are sitting. We have headphones being administered that are wireless, so people are having this radiation right up to their brains. We are distributing cell phones from work, and people are putting them in their bras, in their pockets, in their waistbands, in their back pockets. And we are seeing a doubling and quadrupling of colon and rectal cancers today, even among young adults who have been using these devices for years now and storing them on their bodies. We are seeing increases in breast cancers for women and men who are storing these devices in their bras, their suit pockets, their shirt pockets. And again, message is not no technology, but safe technology. So we've distilled all the science down into a format that's very easily accessible. We give a little bit of information, then we'll ask a question, we'll give some more information, ask another question to just make sure we're cementing the important points. And then at the end of each of the wireless education courses, you will have the option to print out a handy little tip sheet to remind you of these little conveniences that you can adopt to have great technology. One of the most important things we can do for ourselves is to create a sleep sanctuary, because as a doctor, you know that as part of our circadian rhythm, in the wee hours of darkness, the pineal gland in the brain is meant to release melatonin. And that's about as scientific as I'll get, because I'm not a scientist or a doctor. But what melatonin does is it goes in and it helps to regulate our sleep. It also helps to remove the toxins from just everyday cell repair and regeneration. But what's happening with this constant bombardment of radio frequency radiation signals coming from all the wireless stuff that we've brought into the house, as well as these small cell antennas that are starting to pop up at the curb or the cell towers that are nearby, our brain sees this light energy form as the lights are on. And so it doesn't think that we're at the wee hours of darkness. And so it doesn't properly release the melatonin. And therefore, we have now disabled our own body's ability to regulate our system. So that's why so many people don't sleep through the night anymore. So many people don't wake up feeling refreshed if they did get to sleep. And it's easy enough to fix. Just create a sleep sanctuary and turn off all that radio frequency. Cell phones can still be used as an alarm, because everything that's on your device is there for you to enjoy. So anything that you've downloaded for entertainment, like music or books or videos, once it's downloaded, just turn off all those antennas and you can just sit there on your device and enjoy whatever's on there. That goes for the alarm, for the clock, for the camera, and whatever, you know, inbred applications that you have on there. So again, it's not rocket science, but we just need to learn. And those little courses at Wireless Education are a really terrific starting point.
Well, even though you're not a physician, you did a wonderful job of describing the importance of sleep and melatonin. And, you know, I just read an article about how people need to supplement for melatonin because of the disruption from the wireless energy. And it's interesting, you can turn it off from your home, but you made a statement that I think people tend to forget this. It's coming from outside into the house. And I just got a new wireless router, and I had to go into the settings and turn off the little section that makes your wireless router a hotspot. People don't even know that exists. So your wireless router becomes a hotspot for people passing by your home, other neighbors who may be using your wireless network. But if you keep that on, then it's constantly pinging and providing energy, I guess, if, lack of a better way to put it, to somebody else who's not even you, right? So that's one thing you can do to go in and make sure your settings take off that hotspot modality, even on your cell phone that still exists as a hotspot if you turn that on. So I guess that, that increases the energy that it's producing, right? And more disruption. Is that how you should think about it?
That's true. Every single one of those antennas should come with an on-off option, right? And so when you talk about that router having multiple antennas in it, I had heard that Comcast Xfinity was indeed putting those hotspots on our home routers so that anybody driving by could have a continuous signal. Well, that's pretty unethical because they're using the energy, our electricity, to run that router to provide their service to people who aren't even in our home. So that, for me, raises a lot of flags. But when I finally decided to hardwire in my home, I had by then purchased a radio frequency detection meter because with the Internet of Things that the industry is so hard and fast promoting right now, they want to put a wireless antenna in everything so they can capture your data and then sell that data to third-party providers. So once I figured out how to hardwire my house, and again, it wasn't that hard to do once I finally got my mind around the fact that all this wireless is pretty bad. I hardwired our computers, our printers, our mice, our keyboard, our laptops, our tablets, our cell phones. And then I went down to the utility closet where our router modem was, and I measured, and it was just off the charts with radiation. So I called up my internet service provider and said, you know, we're choosing hardwired technology. Can you help me figure out how to turn off whatever's transmitting in there? They said, sure, no problem. Sit down at your computer. And they helped me go through into my account and pulled up my account. And all I had to do was click on wireless settings. And sure enough, I had a 2.4 gigahertz antenna and a 5 gigahertz antenna. And so I just went off, off, apply, and I waited a couple minutes and went downstairs and measured, and all was quiet. Then my husband saw a better deal. We started with Verizon. Then he saw a better deal with Comcast. And he called up Comcast and said, you know, we'd like to take advantage of the deal you're offering, but my wife is going to want to make sure that when your tech leaves our house, there's no wireless radiation. They said, no problem. We can do that. So the tech comes to the house. He swaps out all of our cable boxes and our modem box. And I said, okay, humor me. And I come down there with my radio frequency detection meter and I turn it on and it's going off the chart.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so I said, okay, so you got the 2.4 gigahertz antenna, right? And he said, yep, that's off. And I said, what about the 5 gigahertz antenna? And he said, yeah, that's off, because that's another part of the spectrum that they're using for certain services. I said, and somebody told me that Xfinity is now putting public hotspots on our private modem boxes. And he said, yeah. And I said, so did you turn off the 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz hotspots? And he said, yes. And I said, so why is this still showing radiation transmitting off the charts? And he said, I don't know. So he fiddled around in my basement for a couple more hours. He was calling their tech support. He called his supervisor and nobody could figure it out. So he said, well, I'm going to come back tomorrow and I'm going to bring my supervisor with me. And I thought, okay. Well, I had remembered a colleague in Silicon Valley. I was on the edge of a conversation that he was having with somebody one time. And I remembered him talking about a fifth antenna in there. So I reached out to him that night and I said, what was that other antenna? And he said, these boxes are coming configured with a home wireless security system. Whether you are subscribing to that service or not, that antenna is in there pulsing all the time. And he said, and if you call their help desk, the front line is not trained on this. You need to ask to go to a tier two tech support person, which gets you to an engineer. So I thought, you know what? I don't want to play that game. I don't want to risk that some update is going to happen during the middle of the night and then my family is going to be radiated again without my knowledge. So I said to my husband, I think we should just buy our own router modem and that'll take 10 bucks a month off the bill with my internet service provider. So he was great. He ran down to the big box store and came home with a Netgear router. And when the internet service provider company guy and his supervisor came back the next day, I had to train them what was going on in their own equipment. And they were grateful to learn. And I said, as a show of good faith, would you just hook this, you know, Netgear box up that we bought? And they said, absolutely. And they were very good about it. So then we had our own box that we had control over. So you have to be very careful. So I really recommend that people think about investing in a radio frequency detection meter that will allow you to see exactly what your exposures are, because it's invisible. And just like, you know, carbon monoxide, oftentimes we don't know until it's too late. And I, for one, have never felt good under fluorescent lights. They just make me feel tired and fatigued and weak and edgy. So wherever I've worked, I've always hopped up on my desk and unscrewed those fluorescent tubes. And I just put up incandescent light bulb lamps in my offices. And it was funny because people would just come by my office. We didn't have business we needed to conduct. They'd just walk in and sit in my chair and go, "Oh, Cece, I just love your office. It just feels so good in here." So I think our body's giving us this biofeedback, but we've never learned to interpret what it's telling us. So again, it's not rocket science, but once we know, there are so many great resources to help us get to safe technology. So those little courses at Wireless Education are appropriate for mature adolescents all the way through up through adults, you know, teachers, family members, because you don't want to be the only one talking about this. So it's good to get everybody level set with the facts up front. And we tried to keep the cost of those courses so low that it's affordable to just about everybody. The schools and families course is less than the cost of a movie ticket. The corporate induction safety awareness course is, I think, less than $25 right now. And we're told that's unheard of for corporate training, but we're not in it to make $1 million. We just want to pay our overhead expenses and get this information to as many people as we can. And of course, we will work with you. We will offer bulk discounts for training schools. We will work on sliding scale if we need to. We just want to help protect the public. And we actually have a Robin Hood model. So if you own a business in your community and you are a good corporate citizen and socially responsible, if you license, for example, in your healthcare practice, if you were to license the corporate training to train your staff on this, we would then work with you so that you could donate a school's license to your local school community so they can get trained too.
That's awesome.
So in this way, you'll help keep our little nonprofit afloat, but we create this wonderful win-win dynamic. So ultimately, we protect the children, especially because, as you said, their skulls are thinner, their brain has a higher water content, and they are biologically absorbing more of this radiation pound for pound than you and I. And it's not good for you and I. And their immune system is still under construction. Their central nervous system is under construction. And we know this radio frequency radiation hits that especially hard. So
we got to take a break right now and then we'll pick right back up. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Cecilia Doucette. She is the Director of Educational Services for Wireless Education. And again, their website is wirelesseducation.org. And before the break, you were talking about the resources that are available. And, you know, this is not something, this affects the entire society, because we're talking about the health of our country. And cancer rates are out of control. I mean, ADHD used to be, it was in a textbook. We rarely saw anybody with a diagnosis or autism. Now it's, was it almost 1 in 12, 1 in 8 people with autism? This is unacceptable. And if this is something that we can do, easy little, you know, cost-effective measures to protect our health, then we need to do it. So before the break, you were, it's not, like you said, not rocket science, but it's a want to. But I don't know, people didn't know that this was even a thing. So now that they know there's a problem, what you're providing in your organization is an invaluable resource that's not going to break the bank, but can change the direction of your child's education, your health, your future. And that's what it's all about. So I'm sorry to cut you off before the break, but if you please continue with other resources that you were mentioning.
Sure. So there's an award-winning environmental group called Grassroots Education, and that's headed up by Patty and Doug Wood. And over the years, they have launched a number of excellent projects to help our world understand what this radio frequency radiation is from wireless technology. One of their early projects was called the Baby Safe Project, because pregnant women especially should be very vigilant about not having wireless around their children or their developing fetuses. So Dr. Hugh Taylor heads up the OBGYN division at Yale Medical. And Dr. Taylor worked with Patty and Doug, and they did this Baby Safe Project. So you can just go out to babysafeproject.org, and there's a beautiful little 3-minute video just to help parents understand what this issue is, and that choosing safe technology in your home is one of the best things you can do today as a parent. So that was one of their early projects. And then they did a project called Americans for Responsible Technology. And they are connecting with groups all over the country, because you would be amazed at how many local groups there already are that have wisened up to what this radio frequency is doing to our families and our communities. And there are groups all over the country. So you can go out to AmericansForResponsibleTechnology.org and you can join a group. There's a group in many of the states, and if there's not one already, they have a nice toolkit for how to get one started. So definitely link up with others, and they have all sorts of excellent resources to help you start this conversation in your town. You might choose to do a screening of an award-winning film called Generation Zapped. It was part of the United Nations Film Festival, and a little bit of my work is featured in there. I helped our public school district become the first in the United States to even have a sign hanging in our classrooms that says, turn off the wireless when you're not using it, turn off the devices when you're not using it, and just as the fine print says, never ever use an active device on your body. So Generation Zap is an excellent film. If your public library subscribes to one of the film services called Canopy with a K, Canopy, or Hoopla, Generation Zap is part of both of those collections, and you can watch the film for free through your library. And then watch it with your friends and loved ones, because it's important to level set with the facts up front, because the industry has been so effective at making us think it's all fine and putting a lot of spin around the good studies that come out so they can create doubt. So Americans for Responsible Technology has all sorts of resources to bring to your friends, loved ones, and to your town and to your legislators. And then the most recent project that they have launched is called Tech Safe Schools. And if you go out to techsafeschools.org, the way they launched this was brilliant. They did 3 webinars. The first one was with a group of attorneys from all over the United States who full well understand what this radiation is and the legal risk that it places on our schools and on our towns and on our employers because of that legal fine print. And because Lloyd's of London, Swiss Re, AM Best, and other major insurers have long since recognized that radio frequency radiation is a huge risk, and they have put exclusions in their policies so they do not cover damages for radio frequency radiation harm. So that leaves our schools and our towns and our work employers very vulnerable to legal action. So that's important to understand, especially at our schools. And then they brought in world-leading experts in science and medicine and taught our schools to recognize the symptoms that go along with these day-to-day exposures in our classrooms and in our playing fields and in our communities, when the industry is giving us money to put cell towers up, small cell antennas right on school property, we need to understand that that's a really, really bad choice. And then the third webinar that they offer, we always want to be a part of the solution. So they brought in a building biologist, and building biologists are certified professionals who can do an assessment for a given school and show them what their vulnerabilities are and then teach them how to convert their systems to safe hardwired technology. And the good news is that most of our schools are already 90% of the way there. The hardwired Ethernet is coming through a cable of sorts right to the building. From the building, it's wired in throughout the school. And then the only thing they need to update is those wireless access points that they've mounted on the ceiling that are sitting there pulsing at the children and the staff all day long. We need to convert back to Ethernet cables and jacks and run wires right to the devices and then just go into those devices and turn off the antennas. So it is definitely doable. I know when I ran our local education foundation, this is definitely a project that we could have done community level fundraising for to hardwire our schools again. So it's not insurmountable. It's a huge mind bender because all we've been told is we have to get all this wireless infrastructure and device level stuff for our kids to succeed in the world. But we can definitely, definitely bring resources in to help do this and do it quickly, because every day that we leave our children exposed to this is another day that those cumulative effects are mounting.
Well, let me stop you for a second. What are the symptoms that the parents need to look for if their children are being adversely affected?
So very common early onset microwave sickness symptoms include headaches, nosebleeds, nausea, dizziness, anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, cognitive impairment, skin abnormalities that may present as heating, flushing, itching, burning sensation. And, you know, the poor kids, they can't concentrate as well as they used to be able to do. Their cognitive abilities are suffering. They feel like they're jumping out of their skin and they don't know why. They may comment that they feel all buzzy inside. And simply by removing these exposures, I had one mom in my town. She has two little boys, and I brought my detection meter into her home. And we first went into her work office at home, and she worked for a big corporation, so she had two of everything. She had her personal set of technology and then her company-issued technology with laptops and printers and routers and Wi-Fi, you know, mice and keyboards and everything. And I turned my detection meter on in her office and it was just a red zone. It was so hot. So we just talked about how to hardwire it all and turn off the antennas. And then she said, "Hey, would you do me a favor and come into my son's bedroom with your meter?" So I went in there and these two little guys slept in a queen size bed together. And I put the radio frequency detection meter on their pillow. And it went right into the red zone. And we looked around and they had an iPad on the nightstand and they had a laptop, a hand-me-down laptop for the older son on the desk. So that wasn't good. So I get a call from her the next day and she said, "After you left my house, I called my husband and said, 'Sweetie, bring home an Ethernet cable.'" And so they hooked up the laptop to an Ethernet cable, they went into the settings and turned off the antennas. And that iPad that was on the nightstand, the boys only used it as part of their bedtime routine. They would listen to music that was already downloaded on the device. So they didn't need to have any wireless transmissions. So they turned off the wireless antennas. And she called to tell me that her little guy slept through the night for the first time in his life. And I said, How old is your little guy? And she said, "He's 2. So anybody who has children or who cares for children knows that if those little ones are not sleeping through the night, nobody in the house is sleeping through the night and everybody's knuckle dragging. So I literally hung up from my conversation with her that day, and I burst into tears because I didn't want to believe any of this was true, but I knew because I'd read the science. I knew because my daughter's headaches and nosebleeds went all but gone once we turned off the radiation in our home. But I just burst into tears because we should all have the right to know. And then she called me back 2 weeks later. And I had been meeting with every member of our school committee, and she was on school committee, and she left me a message, something about school committee, and I called her back and I said, you know, I didn't realize this was back on the agenda for school committee. She said, no, but because you've come to all of our homes, we were all just talking about this. And she said, I want you to know that my older son, in his grade level, there was a population bubble, and so they had to put up a modular classroom. And because it hadn't yet been outfitted with Wi-Fi, he pretty much had a clean classroom environment. And because they had cleaned things up at home, he had a pretty clean living environment. And she said, my husband and I are just looking at each other, waiting for the other shoe to drop, because this boy had severe behavioral issues. And now he's like this happy, well-adjusted kid who's getting great sleep. And for the first time ever, he is actually engaging with his peers and able to play side by side with other children. And he was about 7 years old at the time.
That's incredible.
So it can be that impactful with just a little bit of education.
Wow.
So use the resources. And for our medical community, oh my goodness, when I fell down the rabbit hole with this issue, probably going on about 8 or 9 years ago now, we had a huge gap in that we had no way to train our healthcare teams on this. And in 2019, we held the first international EMS medical conference. And then we just had another one that we improved upon after the first one, which was great. So now we have the EMS medical conference 2021 from January, and Libby Kelly is the executive producer of that conference, and she went through great criteria to have it not only credentialed for continuing medical education credits for doctors, but she went through a second process to have the continuing education, or CEs, applied for and granted for nurses as well. And we know that our local first responders also need to get continuing education credits. And the firefighters love this because they can do it from the firehouses without having to travel, because they don't have any budget for travel. And the price for these courses to get this professional medical training has been cut. We heard back from colleagues in Europe that said, even though the price for this, which I think was originally about $400 for this 3 or 4 day conference, was very reasonable, in some of the countries it was still too high to be accessible. So again, we want to reach as many healthcare providers as we can. And so we cut the cost in half. And so now you can be professionally trained, you can apply for the continuing education credits. And for the general public that doesn't need, or even for healthcare providers who don't need any more credits right now, you can access those videos for a very low cost online at the EMF Medical Conference 2021. And I think that's emfmc2021.com. And you can go out there and either get the continuing education credits. And again, these are with world-leading scientists and doctors who are already treating patients, and they will give you the ability to recognize, diagnose, treat, and most importantly, prevent this whole spectrum of EMF, or electromagnetic field, illnesses. And so EMFs, or electromagnetic fields, can come from these pulses of microwave radiation, or they can come from dirty electricity, or they can come from improper wiring on your home, or high electric fields or magnetic fields in your car. That's all these man-made electromagnetic fields that they're invisible. So how would we possibly know, and who would ever think to connect these to the symptoms that so many are suffering from, and worse, being misdiagnosed from, just like we were with Lyme disease a decade ago. Too many doctors would run their tests and come up empty and throw up their hands. Worse, others would say, well, gee, the tests don't show anything, so surely it must all be in your head.
That's actually an
environmental.
Yeah, that's really sad.
Such a crime.
It is. Well, you know, let's pick that up because it's about, I want to go more with and exposures and solutions when we come back. So let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Cecilia Doucette, the Director of Educational Services for Wireless Education. And, you know, there's so many hidden exposures. Now the car manufacturers are toting wireless technology for your car, which it means you're bathed in EMF, isn't it? If you don't connect your phone to it, it's still on, isn't it?
Well, you have to look at each individual car because they're putting more and more radio frequency sensors in for Bluetooth, for the backup camera, for the wheel well sensors, and then trying to get all the kids engaged to be able to hook up wirelessly with their tablets and so forth, which I remember driving my little kids around and sometimes, sure, it's nice to have them occupied in the car, but not at the expense of their health. So we need to get our automobile manufacturers educated on this. If anybody works in the industry and wants to bring me in, I would be so honored. And folks can find me through wirelesseducation.org, or I'm also the director of Massachusetts for Safe Technology, and you can find me at MA4safetech.org, and just, you know, contact me through there, and I would be more than happy to speak to your employers if you work in the automobile industry, or if you work for any of the companies that are engineering Internet of Things devices. The technology itself is not bad, but we have to give the public the right to choose to turn off the wireless transmitters and the option to hardwire through cabling so that we can turn off the radiation but still access excellent technology. So we're grateful that we have the EMF Medical Conference. We're grateful we have the courses to quickly train at wirelesseducation.org. We're extremely grateful for the new project in techsafeschools.org because there's a letter that anybody can print out and give to their schools. There's a letter for the administrators. There's a letter to talk about the legal risks and those great webinars. And then Martin Luther King Jr. taught us that anytime important change happens, it comes through three channels. So one, the public is informed and begins to speak up and work towards safe technology solutions from where they are. And that's what we're doing today with this podcast. So thank you, Dr. George, for this opportunity. And then two, it goes through the courts. And right now there are so many lawsuits happening around this. You don't hear it in the news very often because the wireless industry or their parent organizations own most of mainstream media, or their advertising presence is so heavily that the mainstream networks cannot afford to bite the hand that feeds them. So we don't hear about it, but it's all out there and easy to find. So for years, the FCC had an open docket because the Government Accountability Office said, it looks like maybe your FCC guidelines are out of date. Let's take a look into this. So they opened up a docket, and world-leading scientists and doctors in the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, and organizations from around the world sent in statements saying we need safer protection. And then at the end of the day, they closed that docket and said, it's fine. Let's keep doing what we're doing. So once that decision from the FCC hit the Federal Register, then the lawsuits began, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. runs the Children's Health Defense, and he sued the FCC. There's an incredibly powerful database repository group called the Environmental Health Trust at ehtrust.org, and they have arguably the world's biggest database on this. And they sued the FCC for neglecting to address the science. And so these two lawsuits were combined, and in January, they held oral arguments in front of three federal judges. And after listening, the judges were really not impressed with the FCC. And one of the judges said, so please share with us what due diligence you did to reaffirm that your radiation exposure limits are safe. And they just kind of did some finger pointing and said, well, the FDA said it's okay. Well, they said, okay, so what did the FDA do to prove this is safe? And as it turns out, the FDA commissioned a study 20 years ago to the National Toxicology Program, or the NTP, going in to see if cell phones were safe, because that was the technology of the day. And they spent 20 years on this study using rodents, because it's unethical to use humans. And what happens to these Sprague-Dawley rats and the mice happens to humans in most cases. So that's why we use rats and mice. And when the final results were released, they had an unprecedented 3-day peer review at the National Institutes of Health with these world-leading experts. And at the end of that, their final report was released, and it concluded clear evidence of cancerous tumors and DNA damage. And clear evidence is the highest of five categories that they can assign. So that should have triggered a translation into public policy. But instead, the gentleman who heads up that part of the FDA today turned around to the FCC and said, keep doing what you're doing, nothing to look at here. And one might ask, what would ever possess Dr. Jeffrey Shuren to make that call? And it turns out he is married to a woman who is a partner in a law firm that represents the wireless industry. So he has huge conflicts of interest, just as all of our FCC commissioners do, because they all came from the wireless industry.
This sounds eerily familiar to the FDA and Big Pharma. It's the same playbook. And we don't have
tobacco.
It's awful. Now, we only have a minute left. I just want to make sure people can get your information so they can find you, find your website, and take action. Because obviously, what you just described, we're on our own. If we expect them to do the right thing, it's never going to happen. We have to be the forefront.
Right.
That's pretty obvious from what you just described. So how can people reach you?
So you can reach me through wirelesseducation.org or Massachusetts for Safe Technology. And the third prong that I was going to mention that Martin Luther King spoke of is that it changes through public policy as well. And we've got some great inroads. We had a groundbreaking commission report out of New Hampshire. They passed a law to investigate this. They documented the corruption with our government and the industry. And then they make 15 recommendations that all of our towns should be looking at today to hardwire our technology, to start monitoring all this radiation, and to start holding accountability, not just for us, but for all living creatures. This has really taken a hit on our pollinators and our trees and every living biological cell. So go out to Massachusetts for Safe Technology. I can be brought in to speak to your towns. I'm regularly brought in to speak to school committees, planning boards, zoning boards, legislators, you know, whoever you can open this conversation with. I would be honored to join you and do the heavy lifting.
Ms. Tissette, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I learned so much, and it's so important, and I feel empowered to help myself, and I know my listeners did too. So thank you so much for coming on today.
You are so welcome. And once you know, you're halfway there, so let us help you get to the rest of the way.
Will do. And thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
All right.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.